This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
Our reading this morning is taken from Psalm 63. O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in your sanctuary and gazed upon your power and glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up my hands to you in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feast. I will praise you with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night, because you are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. But those plotting to destroy me will come to ruin. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will die by the sword and become food of the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear to tell the truth will praise him, while liars will be silenced. Amen.
O God, you are my God. I earnestly search for you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you in this parched and weary land where there is no water. King David wrote these words while he was in the wilderness of Judah. Throughout David's life, we can see how he ends up in very similar circumstances at different stages of his life, but for very different reasons. First of all, we see David flee from Saul, fearing for his life because Saul wants to kill him. And so David ends up going on the run and hiding in the wilderness for quite a long time. We then see him fleeing to the wilderness for the second time in his life, but this time from his own son, Absalom, who's conspiring against him and wants him dead. The circumstances this time round are a bit different. The choices David has made throughout his life has almost led him to this point. But this is the second time he's found himself in the wilderness, afraid for his life because someone wants to kill him. And so with only a relatively small group of loyal men and his son plotting his death, David is at one of the lowest points in his life. He finds himself in the literal but also the emotional wilderness. But it's when David is in the middle of his suffering, during this time spent in the wilderness, that he writes this psalm. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. Unlike many other psalms written in dire situations, this psalm is overflowing with thankfulness and praise rather than lament and petition. David penned these words filled with thankfulness while in this parched and weary land. The wilderness is an uncultivated, uninhabited, inhospitable place. It's a place that's been untouched by human activity. So naturally, the wilderness is not a great place to be in. It's an inhospitable land where there's no water. It cannot sustain human life. And the wilderness in Hebrew really emphasizes this dryness, And that's where David is, the desert. It's a dry place. It's a barren land lacking anything that will feed, fuel, or nourish David. It's not a place you want to find yourself, wandering in the wilderness. And yet, the wilderness throughout Scripture is incredibly significant. The wilderness tends to be this backdrop for really intense experiences and encounters with God. There's a theology gained in the wilderness that can't be gained anywhere else. And we see this time and time again throughout all of Scripture. In fact, words translated as wilderness occur nearly 300 times in the Bible. So this is a position where many people have found themselves. This is a place where God reveals himself. The wilderness is where there is revelation, deliverance, divine provision. One of the most formative Hebrew memories is the years of wandering in the wilderness after they're freed from slavery. In Exodus 16, we see this divine provision from God for the Israelites as they wandered in the desert with this stark need for food and water. They're not going to survive. But we see God providing quails and manna for them each day. In 1 Kings 19, we see Elijah flee to the wilderness to escape Jezebel, where he falls into a deep depression. He tells God that he doesn't want to live anymore. But it's during this time of isolation, it's during this time of depression that God meets Elijah. He provides food and water for him to build him back up to strength. Much needed sustenance for his body. And then Elijah meets God. He encounters him through the still, small voice. In Genesis 21, we see Hagar and Ishmael lost and wandering in the desert. And Hagar can't bear to see her son die. She's afraid for his life and she can't even bear to listen to him cry. But God meets Hagar there in the wilderness. And again, we see him provide food and water, meeting those physical needs that without Hagar and Ishmael wouldn't survive. But not only that, he reveals to Hagar that he's going to make Ishmael into a great nation. She doesn't need to worry about his life. In Exodus 3, Moses leads his flock to the far side of the wilderness and he comes to Horeb, the mountain of God. And it's here in the wilderness that Moses encounters God through the burning bush. And even if we were to fast forward to Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus driven by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights after he's baptized by John. The devil is there, but so also is the Spirit. These are just a few examples of the many people throughout Scripture who met with God and had these intense experiences with him in that dry and weary place. When we find ourselves in the wilderness, we're in good company. The wilderness isn't a comfortable place to be in. It's not built for comfort, but it is a place of learning. It's a place for growth. There are many times in life where we will find ourselves wandering in the wilderness. And we can find ourselves there for so many different reasons and at different points in our life. For some of us, our wilderness might very well be grief. We could be grieving the death of a loved one, of a family member. Or, if not death, a broken relationship. Or our wilderness could be dealing with illness and navigating life with an illness. I know there's been many people during this time who have had lots of worries about their health. The wilderness could be job loss and having to figure out what life looks like after that. Or if not job loss, living in job insecurity, not really knowing what the future holds. And I'm sure for these past 5 months may have felt like the wilderness for many people who have been in lockdown, especially for those who've had to isolate themselves, those who are vulnerable, those who are at risk. This surely has been a time of wilderness for some. Or perhaps for some of us, our wilderness could very well be because we're being pruned. Jesus tells us that God is the gardener, that we are the branches that he prunes, and pruning can be a painful process of being stripped back, of things being cut away. He tells us he cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. If you've ever seen a tree that has been pruned, they can almost look like they're dead, like there's nothing left. But it's necessary in order for it to go on and bear more fruit. When we are going through our own wilderness, and we're filled with a deep and intense longing for God, it's a sign that he is present in our lives. Tim Keller actually talks about this. He says how we can know if we've experienced God, if we've encountered him, if we're deeply hungry and thirsty for him. He says the sense of his absence, the dissatisfaction with his absence is evidence that he has touched our lives. We notice the absence of something that has been there before. And so when we're wandering in the desert and we're wondering where God is, we know that he has touched our lives, that we have been in his presence, because we're noticing the absence of something that has been there before. So when we are wandering in the wilderness, what do we do? What can we learn from Psalm 63? Well, when you read Psalm 63, what we actually have, it actually outlines there's a problem and there's a solution. That's what we can see in Psalm 63. We can break it down into a problem and a solution. David tells us what his problem is. He is in a dry and weary land where there is no water. This is a description of where he physically is, because we know that he wrote this while he was in the wilderness of Judah at some point during his life when he was on the run. But it's also a description of where he is spiritually. He's telling us that he's thirsty for God. His very soul is longing for God. He's seeking God out because he notices the absence of God in his life. And he recognizes God's absence because he knows what it feels like to be in his presence. David has experienced that. He tells us, I have seen you in the sanctuary. And we know that David's seen him in the sanctuary. We know that David was a worshipper. It's such a big part of his identity. It's such a big part of David's story. At the beginning, when we start to read about who he is, we see that David sang and danced before God, and he saw God's power and glory, and he's experienced his steadfast love. These are the words of a man who knows God intimately. The words we're reading in Psalm 63 are the words of someone who was in relationship with God and knew what it felt like to be in his presence. And so we're seeing what Tim Keller says in action here. David's dissatisfied with the absence of God in his life because of his previous experiences with him. He's dissatisfied and he's craving him. We've all had times in our lives when we have felt close to God. where we've been in his presence. And he has met with us, and we have met with him, and he's ministered to us. There might be times where we have felt peace. God ministering his peace to us and into our circumstances. Maybe you can recall a time where you felt an overwhelming sense of God's love. Or perhaps there's been occasions where you've been seeking answers, praying for something in particular, and God has answered. There are times in our lives where we feel so close to God, and so when we find ourselves wandering in the desert, lost in the wilderness, sometimes the wilderness is all we can see. We can't see the wood for the trees. We can't see the solution. But David points us towards the solution in this psalm. He has told us what his problem is, but he also points us towards the solution. In verses 6 and 7, David writes, "I lie awake thinking of you, meditating on you through the night. Because you are my helper, I sing for joy in the shadow of your wings." The fact that David spent his nights meditating on God is what helped him to see who God is. It reminded him that God is good. God is his helper. God has helped him before. He's experienced him before, and so he will help him through this. And so because of this, David's whole mindset changes. He's no longer focusing on the problem. He's focusing on the solution. David's solution, when he was in the wilderness, in this inhospitable land where there was no water and nothing to nourish him, his solution is to seek God, to chase after God. "O God, my God, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My whole body longs for you." David isn't chasing after peace or comfort or happiness. He's not looking for justice. David is chasing after a person. He's chasing after God because he knows that God is the only one who will satisfy him. "Your unfailing love is better than life itself," he writes. "I will praise you as long as I live. You satisfy me more than the richest feast." This is why this psalm is overflowing with thanksgiving and praise instead of lament and petition. Because although David is in the dry and weary place, although he is thirsty and hungry, he knows that it's in the seeking God that he will meet him. Because our God is the God who meets us in the wilderness. So have you ever found yourself in the wilderness? Are you in the wilderness today? If you are, if you're finding yourself doing some serious desert wandering, seek God. If you are grieving, seek God. If you're trying to navigate some of life's big changes, seek God. Or if you're dissatisfied with the absence of God in your life, seek God. Because the God of David, the God who shows up in the dry and weary place, is still our God today. So let us praise him because his steadfast love is better than life. Let us remember what it's like to see God in the sanctuary and to behold his power and glory. We're going to spend some time in God's presence now as we listen to a song together and reflect on all that God has done in our lives. This is called "Like Incense" by Hillsong Worship.
raising up my hands a sacrifice. Oh Lord Jesus, turn your eyes upon me, for I know there is mercy in your sight. Your statutes are my heritage forever. My heart is set on keeping your decrees. Please still my anxious urge toward rebellion. Let love keep my will upon its sleeve.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear God, as we come into your presence this morning, we ask that you will still our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we wait on you. All too often we bring to you our prayers and petitions, but we forget to still ourselves and listen for what you want to say to us. As we have been exploring the Psalms, we are aware that we need to have an honest conversation with you, to help us grow and mature in you. In our busy lives, help us to take time to talk with you. In our church family life, may we take time to listen to our friends and to be there for them. We ask you, Lord, that at this time of lockdown, we will put others' interests before our own and that we can serve you by helping them. We thank you for your word, which tells us that your grace is sufficient for us and your power is made perfect in our weakness. May we all pray for an increasing dependence on your sufficient grace. We would ask you, God, that you will help us to trust in you to provide for everything that you want our congregation to do. Lord, we are human and so we are weak. May we admit to you our frailties and weaknesses and ask you to help us to honestly address areas of church life that are not strong and show us your plan for these areas. As we learn to trust you for our needs, may we remember, Lord, that it is you who is supplying the strength for us to serve you. Help us not to lean on our own gifts, skills, talents and abilities when serving you, but to depend on you to supply us with all that we require. Help us, Lord, to give thanks for all your blessings to us, our health, strength, warm home, good food, family and friends. Remember those who may not be as fortunate as we are. At this holiday time, we bring before you Catherine, Jonathan, Isabella and Noah. May the power of your Holy Spirit be with them, refreshing them in body and mind and soul. We would ask that those members of our church family will enjoy a refreshing break and a chance to refresh their mental and physical tiredness. Father, we give special thanks to all teachers who have been teaching their pupils by internet, to parents who have homeschooled their children during lockdown and can now, with their children, relax together and enjoy some family time. Father, COVID-19 is still with us. We pray for a continued decrease in numbers. We pray that those in authority will listen to sound medical advice and that the researchers will find a vaccine to treat the virus. Help us as a church to consider very carefully the intention of returning to church on the 6th of September. We pray that you will guide us in all the preparations that need to be made to ensure that all our church family will be safe when we return to worship together. Father, we thank you for all your loving kindness to us, and we would ask that you will take these prayers in and through the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.